Welcome, everyone, to this special meeting of the SCV Water Board of Directors for June 16th, 2021. I'd like to call the meeting to order. And that's item one. So item two is the Pledge of Allegiance. Tonight I'm going to ask Director Cooper if he would kindly recite the pledge while we remain seated and muted for the pledge.
I'd be honored. Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Director Cooper. So this may sound familiar because we just read these last night, so we'll read them again. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the updated authorizations and requirements contained in Governor Newsom's Executive Order N-08-21, signed on June 11, 2021. Board and staff, please mute all of your devices until you are ready to speak to avoid feedback, echoing, and background noise. Make sure you unmute when speaking and remute when you are done speaking. All board members, please turn on your camera during the meeting. Staff, please turn on your camera when speaking. Turn them off when you are done speaking. Board members will be advised to use the raise hand feature in Zoom when action and discussion items are presented. I will call on each of you when it is your turn to speak. The public may comment on items not covered on the agenda during item three and will be limited to 3 minutes per comment. The public will have an opportunity to comment on the items covered under item five special procedures as each item is discussed. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. Please do not turn on your camera unless you are speaking during the public comment. Then please turn them off when you have completed your comments. To participate in public comment via phone, please, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. Phone participants will be called on by the last two digits of their phone number or by your name. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. When you are finished with your public comment, staff will remute you. Please be familiar with the last two digits of your phone number. The board secretary will be doing attendance by roll call, and each action item will be considered will be taken by roll call. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll for attendance?
Director Plambeck, are you present?
Yes, I am.
Director Atkins, are you present?
Present.
Director Kelly, are you present?
I am present.
Director Bronstein, are you present?
Yes.
Director Colley, are you present? I'll come back to Director Colley. Director Cooper, are you present?
Present.
Director Armitage, are you present?
Present.
Director Ozahowski, are you present?
Present.
Director Ford, are you present?
Present.
Director Colley, are you present? Vice President Mortensen, are you present?
Present.
Vice President Gladbach, are you present?
Yes.
President Martin, are you present?
I am present.
I see that Mr. Colley was there. And I'm not sure where he went, so I'm going to leave him off until he comes back on.
All right, he was there earlier.
He was, yeah. I don't see him, he's probably calling back in. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you, April. We are at item three, public comment. I'd like to remind the public that those on landline to hit *9 to raise their hand and *6 to unmute. For those on a device, such as a computer, smartphone, or other, to raise their hand. I'd like to remind the public that item three is for public comment on items not on the agenda. So with that, Madam Secretary, do we have anyone who would like to make comment at this time?
It does not appear so.
Very good. We can move on to item four, approval of the agenda. I would entertain a motion for approval of the agenda.
So move, Lynn Planbeck.
Motion by Director Planbeck. Do we have a second?
Seconded, Director Cooper.
Second by Director Cooper. Are there any public comments, April, on the approval of the agenda?
There is not.
Very good. Please call the roll for the vote.
Director Olsohosky, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Atkins, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Planbeck, how do you vote?
I vote yes, but I do have a question when we get to the end of the vote.
Okay. Director Colley, how do you vote?
I vote yes, and I am also back. My computer keeps acting up.
Very well, welcome back. Director Bronstein, how do you vote?
Yes.
President or Director Cooper, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes, ma'am.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Yes.
The agenda is approved. And Director Planbeck, you had a question?
Yes, there was a letter from the, this is for Mr. Byrne, a letter from the Silverstein Law Firm saying that because the urban water management plan was not agendized as an action item, that's a Brown Act violation. Can you comment on that?
Sure, yeah, I think what the letter, and by the way, this came in around 4:30 or so I was looking at it in the last 30 minutes. What the allegation in the letter was is that it wasn't properly agendized because under CEQA, the finding of an exemption should be a separate item on the agenda.
So I guess the blue one must be floral also.
Sorry, Director Kelly, I think you're on.
RJ, can you mute?
So, and there's a case that's attached, and I spoke with some of my CEQA folks. It is true that for the adoption of an EIR or a mitigated or negative deck, an action on CEQA, that it needs to be a separate agenda item, but an exemption applies as a matter of law. So it's not something that we feel is necessary to do. Of course, you know, one of the options for the board, if they were concerned about Mr. Silverstein, who has a history of litigating things in the Valley, would be if we were at some point to make a decision to close the public agenda and defer action to a later time, we could do that. However, from a legal standpoint, we feel that we're complying with the law in the way that the agenda is agendized presently.
Thank you, Mr. Byrne.
Oh, go ahead, Mr. Byrne.
Did you have something else to say, Mr. Byrne?
I was just going to say there are a number of other things that are in the letter as well, which I think I can speak to when we talk to the more substantive issues about the plan. Sorry for that phone. So, yeah, I don't know, Director Planbeck, does that answer your question sufficiently? Or?
I just wanted the agenda item question to be addressed before we went forward.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And that came in real late.
Yeah, Joe, I think you may have said close the public agenda. Did you mean conclude the public hearing and then take action at a later date would be an option?
Yeah, and I'm sorry if I misspoke. Yeah, so if let's say, even though we feel that we're complying with the law on this, since, you know, there's case law on the requirements for an EIR and a negative deck, like I indicated, but there's not necessarily something directly on point for an exemption, whether it needs to be on the agenda or not. Although we feel pretty strongly that it's not required based upon kind of inferences and a number of other cases. But if there was any concern on that, obviously the opportunity to fix it would be to just re-agendize. And what I think Matt is saying is that we could close the public hearing and continue the adoption of the plan to the following meeting. If that's something the board wanted to do, it's not my recommendation, but it is something that if there's concern about that, that is an option depending upon people's schedules, et cetera.
All right, thank you, Mr. Byrne. Based on your very strong recommendation, I would suggest we move forward with the agenda as is. We do have a hand raised by Director Armitage. Would you like to make comment also?
Yes, thank you. I So I don't have a legal background. So I'm just listening to what Mr. Byrne is sharing. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like the safer route is to close the public hearing and then re-agendize the vote for adoption on another day. Just to be sure.
Well, we can do it two ways. If that's the pleasure of the board, we can amend the agenda now, or we can table the item when we get to it, whichever way works for the, if that in fact is the pleasure of the board, I just assume proceed. But Director Colley, would you like to comment on this item?
Yes, I just, my feeling is that I absolutely agree with Joe that even the case that they included, I looked at it briefly, and it clearly, well, first, it's a Superior Court judgment. It's not precedential anyway, but even if it were, it clearly identifies the cases in question where action was actually taken. And this is sort of a lack of action under CEQA that we're doing. And I would point out to that the safe route has costs on its own, because I think this would require a special meeting yet again. And so there are costs associated with agendizing and holding another meeting. So we should carefully consider both. It seems unfortunate that this law firm could cause us to spend the public's money needlessly to agendize this on a separate meeting. But I do understand that the cost of the lawsuit would then involve more public money that would be needlessly spent. So it's a difficult question.
All right. We have already voted to approve the agenda as is. So when we get to item 5.2, if the pleasure of the board is to postpone action on 5.2, we can consider it at that time. But at this time, we can continue with item 5, special procedures. And that's what we will be doing. Unless there's further comment or question from the board, we will proceed with item 5, special procedures. 5.1, special procedures, will be public hearing continuation on the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and addendum to the SCV Water 2015 Urban Water Management Plan. And let's see here. I would like to open the public hearing at this time on the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and the addendum to the 2015 Urban Water Management Plan. Tonight's public hearing will be organized as follows. First, staff will make a presentation addressing any comments made by the public and or the board at the May 27th, 2021 special board meeting, and any written comments that we have received from May 28th to today in relation to the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and the addendum to the 2015 Urban Water Management Plan. Because this is a public hearing, there will be no board member questions and or comments until after the public comment has concluded. Second, members of the public will be invited to make verbal comments. Third, after the public comments have concluded, board members will then have an opportunity to discuss the presentation and the public comment. SCV Water Resources Planner Sarah Flory will be making tonight's staff presentation on both the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and the addendum to the 2015 Urban Water Management Plan. At this time, Ms. Flory, please proceed with the presentation.
Thank you very much, Director Martin. Good evening, all of the directors and members of the public. I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us. My name is Sarah Flory. I'm the project manager for the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan. And before I start, I just want to take a moment to thank the public for taking the time to participate in this long process. It's a complicated process. It's a long process, and you've provided a great input to our team. And I think at the end of the day, we have a really comprehensive plan. I also wanted to thank all of the staff and consultants that helped us with this plan. We couldn't have done it without their assistance, and it's an extremely important document. There's been a lot of changes in the last 5 years that needed to be captured in this update, and so they've really helped us get to the point we're at. And at the top of the list, I wanted to thank Dirk Marks, our Director of Water Resources, because his guidance and assistance on this project was really crucial. And I want to recognize his expertise is really the reason this document is so comprehensive. So with that, I'm going to give a presentation. Majority of it is addressing comments. So we're going to get right to the point. Next slide, please. So we're going to go quickly through the timeline and then get right into the comments and concerns, talk about updates that we've made to the draft plan, and then recommend that the board adopt the draft urban plan as well as the addendum to the 2015 urban plan. Next slide, please. Again, planning for this project started last summer and is finally coming to an end. I'm pretty excited. We do need to submit this plan to DWR July 1st. We've worked really hard during this process to keep the public informed. We've put out numerous notification materials, posted information on our website, social media, emails, and the local press to really encourage as much participation throughout this process as possible. And the agency has really gone above and beyond the standard requirements. So I'm going to quickly focus in on some of those highlights. Next slide, please. I think one of the biggest highlights in this process was that we provided three different workshops to the public to help them embrace and be in this process with us and explain the process to them, because there's so many components. And so though no workshops are required, we held three workshops and they covered multiple topics. We made sure that they were all recorded. Materials are located on our websites. And in case someone missed an event, we also summarize the event with questions and in the video as well for answers. Next slide, please. So we've come a long way. We have completed the first public hearing on May 27th, which was for the urban plan as well as the 2015 addendum. On June 9th, we had a public hearing for the water shortage contingency plan, which was adopted. And that is a very important component of the urban plan. And in addition, we had a public hearing for the water shortage ordinance. And that wasn't necessarily a component of the urban plan, but it allows us to enforce the water shortage contingency plan if we get to that point. So it's important as well. We are now at June 16th, where we're continuing the public hearing. And we hope to get both of those plans adopted this evening. And then we'll be submitting everything to DWR July 1st. Next slide, please. So we're gonna jump right in now with public comments and responses. Next slide, please. So we did address comments at the May 27th public hearing that had been submitted in writing and received by May 27th. We also focused in on relevant urban plan comments that were submitted for the water shortage contingency plan. And this evening, we are going to be addressing verbal comments that we've received at the May 27th meeting that were not addressed, as well as additional written comments that we've received up to June 16th. And I believe we added three additional comments were included in the board packet. And then I think you got two or three more sets of comments from April today. We got quite a few that came in at the end of the day, and we're gonna do our best to address as many of these comments as possible, knowing that they did come in towards the end of the day. So that was extremely challenging. Next slide, please. So starting off, you know, we had a comment that we need to differentiate between our general message of gallons per day in comparison with the Urban Plans Senate Bill SBX 7-7 number that we talked about in previous discussions. And we do recognize that this does lead to confusion, so we wanted to clarify a bit. The 112 gallon per day number that we talk about, is the purpose for using this number was in the urban plan video. We also use it a lot for outreach, And it's really a message used to engage residents in the valley to make them think about how much water they use as an individual each day. This number is based on 2019 residential demands only and against population. And so you can see the pie chart that I've put here shows that residential demands account for about 58% of our total demands. And that's the single and multifamily sector. And then we have the SBX 7-7 number, often referred to as 20% reduction of demands by 2020. This is a required calculation that was completed to conform to all of the state requirements in the urban plan. And this calculation includes all water use sectors, so 100% of the pie chart there, in comparison with 2020 population. So it's 2020 water use compared to 2020 populations. Next slide, please. Another comment we received were questioning the appropriateness of DWR's state water project modeling. And our response to this is that the model uses 82 years of hydrologic data to project the capability of current and future state water project deliveries. It does incorporate various sophisticated climate change model information within. It also factors in regulations for environmental and operational constraints that the state water project delivery system has. Results from this modeling are provided in the delivery capability report, which is updated every 2 years. And this report is really intended to provide information about key factors affecting the operation of the state water project in California, and this supplies reliability. So it's an extremely important component for water supply planning. Next slide, please. We had a comment concern for the agency's support of the proposed Delta Conveyance Project. And our response is that the urban plan does not incorporate any supplies from the proposed Delta Conveyance Project. Any support for this project and facility is more of a board policy decision. Next slide, please. Should the site's reservoir be incorporated into the water balance tables? Our response is that this is not included at this time because SCP Water's participation in site's reservoir is pending board consideration. So right now it's in the plan, but it's shown as an alternate supply that could be used to improve our future reliability. Next slide, please. A comment that disagrees with SCP Water's support of the Poseidon desal project. And our response is that SCP Water has no current plans to participate in any desal programs. The Urban Plan Act does require discussion of potential opportunities for desal water within the plan. So there's a table that relates to this. SCP Water does have some text that discusses opportunities for desal of brackish groundwater and seawater in the plan, but again, we have no current plans to participate in these programs because they're really not a cost-effective supply option for us at this time. Next slide, please. When will SCP Water declare a water emergency in Santa Clarita? At this time, SCP Water has determined that supplies are available to adequately meet current demands valley-wide, and the agency will continue to monitor the current conditions. And in addition, an annual water supply assessment is now required as part of the water shortage contingency plan. So we'll continue to monitor this, and then we have to submit that now according to the water shortage contingency plan as well. Next slide. Why isn't recycled water provided to the east side? Well, the Vista Canyon Water Reclamation Plant Phase 2B project, it will actually supply up to 300 acre feet a year of recycled water to the east side between 2021 and 2023. Building recycled water distribution system on the east side overall is a much less cost-effective area in the valley. And really, if we focused all of our recycled water in that area, it would cost customers overall to provide that service. So the draft recycled water master plan did identify the most appropriate uses to be located on the west side of the valley, and this will be revisited with a future recycled water master plan. Next slide, please. Is the city of Santa Clarita developing a plan to capture the daily runoff from sprinklers and repurpose it as reclaimed water for landscaping? Our response is no, the city does not plan to capture and reclaim daily runoff from sprinklers, but the city's enhanced water management plan does establish actions to capture stormwater and urban runoff, which would include runoff from sprinklers, screen that water to remove the large debris and then convey it into underground infiltration basins to recharge the groundwater supply. Next slide, please. Why does the GSP water budget analysis incorporate an analysis of groundwater supplies without climate change? Well, the, our response is that the GSP water budget analysis does incorporate climate change, but SGMA regulations do require a water budget analysis without climate change as a baseline for comparison with other scenarios. Next slide, please. Groundwater levels incorporated into the water budget analysis are not sufficiently protective of groundwater-dependent ecosystems. And our response is that the GSA's Stakeholder Advisory Committee has recommended sustainability management criteria, which is based on extensive analysis, which they have deemed sufficiently protective of our groundwater-dependent ecosystems. And this proposed GSP will incorporate a robust monitoring program to confirm this. Next slide, please. It is not plausible to include nickel water supply availability in 2035. The Newhall Ranch specific plan estimates build out time of 25 to 30 years and just started. And our response is that the schedule that we proposed in the plan is consistent with updated information that was provided to us by the developer. Staff considers the assumptions that we made of the earlier completion date to be a more conservative approach that not only includes the supplies, but also the demands. Development schedule will be a function of a lot of factors, including ongoing economic conditions, which may accelerate or decelerate the schedule. And SCB Water will continue to monitor this development progress. And again, just a reminder, the urban plan is updated every 5 years. So, you know, as we learn more, we update more. Next slide, please. We got a question regarding the funding source for the nickel water supply. And our response is that the settlement agreement provides information that current funding for the nickel water supply is provided by the developer. Any future funding with regards to the Newhall Ranch specific plan area will be funded by the developer, and then any remaining supply available to other agency customers will be provided by the funding will be provided by the agency. Next slide, please. The commenter contends the table 4.3 overstates state water project supply availability. So our response is that the purpose of Table 4.3 is not actually to show state water project availability. The availability of our state water project supplies is correctly represented in Table 4.2, which is the state water project Table A supply reliability table, as well as the Section 7 reliability tables for normal dry and multi-dry year scenarios. And so to avoid potential misinterpretation by other parties, because we did receive a few comments on this, we recommend deleting this table. Next slide, please. And I wanted to show you what the table looked like so you would feel more comfortable with our decision. But basically, Table 4.3 documents SCB Water's projected requests to DWR. And the assumptions in this table are conservative because we do presume max availability to the agency for current and future storage programs. So again, they're not meant to assume that the state water project, we're making the assumption that all of our water will be available each year. It's just, it's an estimate. And then again, because it's caused a lot of misinterpretation, we recommend deleting this table. It's not required for the urban plan. Next slide, please. This comment related to climate change strategies are not adequately addressed in the urban plan, specifically talking about the guidebook recommendations for steps, which include screening all of our supplies, analyzing the impacts of these supplies, and then assessing actions to mitigate. And so our response is that the plan does analyze supplies and demands for climate change impacts, This information is embedded within a lot of the data in the plan. So the GSP includes this information. The State Water Project Delivery Capability Report reflects climate change and sea level rise assumptions. And then our population and demand memorandum and assumptions include climate change assumptions as well. The existing conjunctive use strategy that we use to operate sufficiently addresses climate change impacts. And so when I say conjunctive use strategy, I mean that our strategy of utilizing banking programs to store water in wet years and then utilize that water in dry years. That's what I'm talking about when I say a conjunctive use strategy. So we try to balance that. The demands for our banking programs do reflect climate change. So in the dry years, we're going to lean on those banking programs. And then the refilling of banking programs also is reflected with climate change, because in addition to dry years, we're going to get pretty extreme wet years. And so that's when we make the assumption that those banking programs can get refilled. Next slide, please. The drought risk assessment doesn't include climate change considerations. And our response is that the drought risk assessment is more of a near-term analysis, which typically would not take climate change into consideration, because when you say climate change, I think that's more of a long-term assessment of effects. What it does include is weather-adjusted demands. So we assume that the demands are going to be higher, because in this drought risk assessment, the conditions are going to be worst-case scenario. In addition, we assume that the state water, we have information for state water project supplies, which also include climate change adjustments as well. Next slide, please. The groundwater availability is overstated. Specifically in this one, they were talking about the objection to well capacity being shown in the groundwater table. So this is one of the columns where we show well capacity in comparison to other columns. And so our response is that the total groundwater pumping does not exceed the basin operating plan. Well capacity is more of a permitted instantaneous pumping rate. So it's saying how much we're allowed to pump. It's not a daily, a monthly, or an annual pumping volume. It's just the maximum amount that we can pump per DDW. The well capacity is shown to demonstrate that our projected pumping, including the water supply tables, is within our permitted capacity. So it's a comparison point. The tables in section 4, along with section 7, they don't use annual well capacity amounts, but only use the modeled supplies for our normal and dry years. So we're comparing our production estimates to these max capacities. Next slide, please. This comment is that the groundwater availability is overstated, and this one is with regards to that they disagree that the groundwater flow model is an appropriate tool to base current and future operations on. And our response is that DWR's groundwater sustainability plan guidance highly recommends the use of numeric groundwater flow models, such as the one being used by SCB Waters GSA. The GSA model is calibrated to reflect historic pumping and observed groundwater level fluctuations. And the GSA model has been peer reviewed and deemed to be appropriate for evaluating our groundwater availability under basin operating plan. Next slide, please. The comment was with regards to the groundwater operating plan does not work. This was coming from assessment of the 2015 GSI memo. And then in addition, their comment said that the basis for our future Saugus formation supplies is inadequate. And so our response to this is that the concerns regarding the 2015 GSI memo were addressed at the May 27th public hearing. And I believe they were addressed again at the public hearing for the water shortage contingency plan. The Saugus formation supplies were analyzed using numeric models. And so we utilized the 2009 basin operating plan as well as the updated 2020 GSP draft water budget technical memorandum. Next slide, please. There is no approximation of additional costs that ratepayers will be asked to bear with regards to recovering impacted well capacity. And to this one, our response is that the groundwater implementation plan is included in Appendix I of the urban plan, and it does include cost estimates for impacted well recovery efforts, but they are not laid out as far as rate impacts. And so the rate impact analysis is not included as a requirement for the urban plan. We don't get into rates for urban planning, but there is a rate setting process, which is transparent public process, which we all experienced last night, consistent with our state requirements. Next slide, please. This comment requested a timeline for the development of the new Saugus wells. And so, we did provide a timeline within table 4.9 B and C, and these are located in the appendices. And so these is where we broke table 4.9 out into annual assumptions, which specifically shows when we think that the new Saugus wells will come online. So that information is included there. Next slide, please. These comments and concerns were regarding the amendment, the 2015 urban plan, that future imported water use increases and that additional actions to reduce reliance should include protection of recharge areas, promoting more recycled water throughout the service area, and including permeable pavement and other measures. And our response is that the reduced reliance appendix prepared was in accordance with DWR guidance. The methodology provides for a base, and the credits that we were given for this analysis were for additional conservation, groundwater, and recycled water programs that we are implementing. The use of banking and exchange water during dry periods is not a part of this approved methodology. And additional recommended actions regarding the additional programs they listed would require coordination with the land use planning agencies. Next slide, please. This comment is in regards to the problem relating to how water supply is described in the urban plan, and they didn't like the words that we used with capacity, availability, and production. So, our current usage of these terms is correct. Our well capacity, again, is a permitted instantaneous pumping rate, not a daily, monthly, or annual pumping volume. When we talk about the availability of well capacity, we're talking about what pumping options are available throughout whatever time we're looking at. And when we discuss production, we're talking about how we anticipate operating each well in these year types. So we know the maximum amount we can pump, and then we are talking about how are we going to operate these wells in a normal and a dry year condition. Next slide, please. This comment is in regards to the appropriateness of showing our dedicated Buena Vista, Rosedale, Rio Bravo water in our water balance tables prior to development. And our response is that the dedicated Buena Vista, Rosedale, Rio Bravo water is available prior to use by developments and is appropriately included in the water balance tables. Both demand for these developments and the associated supplies are reflected out through time in the water balance tables. Next slide, please. Table 4.1 should be modified to further characterize our water banking exchange supplies, as dry year supplies are not available in all years. And so our response is that we've already made a lot of changes to table 4.1 that you'll see further on in the presentation, but to address this comment, we do recommend incorporating a more detailed footnote which designates the existing banking and exchange programs. And so we feel that an additional footnote stating that banking and exchange programs are used to firm supplies due to dry state water project conditions and reduce access to local groundwater caused by PFAS and chlorate impacts. These banking and exchange programs are do not reflect the normal year long-term water supply. Next slide, please. This comment relates to Section 7 tables, which indicate banking and exchange programs are available in all years. On our response is that separate Section 7 tables provided for normal single dry and multi-dry year scenarios are included in the urban plan. Exchange and banking supplies are not shown in the normal year tables, only in the single dry and multi-dry years as needed. And we don't recommend any modifications based on this comment. Next slide, please. We received a comment that recycled water supplies are overstated. They were talking about reduced flows from reclamation plan are needed, and that a recycled water supply is only a subjective projection at this time. And our response is that the future water, recycled water assumed in the plan, the availability is based on flows generated from our new development. And so a permit is not required for this assumption. The future interior water use documented in Appendix F gets into that detail of how we came up with that, that future projection for recycled water availability. Next slide, please. The plan only shows recycled water development for Newhall Ranch. Table 5.2 overstates 2021 recycled water availability for the Newhall Ranch project. And our response is that Table 5.2 shows our recycled water development for Valencia, Newhall, and Santa Clarita divisions. It reflects the range of demands at build out that we anticipate. And then Table 5.3 actually is what shows our schedule for development of recycled water as we move from 2025 to build out. Next slide, please. So we've gotten through all the public comments. We should take a breath. Next, I wanted to address and respond to some of the board questions and discussion topics from our last public hearing as well. Next slide, please. So we received a comment to incorporate that the incorporation of the reduced reliance text and tables from the 2020 urban plan appendices in the 2015 urban plan seems a bit improper. And our response is that originally this was not incorporated in the 2015 urban plan because the Delta plan was actually under litigation and there was really not clear direction on how we could demonstrate a reduced reliance at that time. The Delta Stewardship Council and DWR have provided clear direction at this time and made a recommendation to amend the 2015 urban plan. So that's why the agency is doing that. Next slide, please. This comment relates to what is the margin of error with respect to all the analyses within the urban plan? And our response is that the urban plan is based on the best available data out there, but there is really no calculated margin of error. Our observations, you know, throughout the data is that, you know, you can make comparisons like the modeled state water project minimum allocation was, they're saying it was 7%, but our lowest allocation ever experienced was 5%. So you can see the difference between the 7% that was modeled and the 5% that was actually experienced. The urban plan is updated every 5 years and incorporates adjustments for things like the actual water use, census data for population. We can adjust wastewater inflows, update demands based on any new conservation mandates. So that's really the benefit of updating this plan every 5 years. We can manage that potential margin of error, though it's minimum, but it's all based on kind of the conditions experienced every 5 years. Next slide, please. What are the new water wells that are referenced in the urban plan? The new water wells are actually our future wells. Some will be developed for the Saugus. These are new future dry year wells. In addition, the alluvial wells, there's some that will be developed based on the agricultural water that gets supply that, that comes over to the municipal. And we've designated all that information in table 4.8 and 4.9. There's footnotes that show exactly which wells are future wells. Next slide, please. Why didn't SCD Water use the 2014 drought in the drought risk assessment? Our response is that we did utilize the worst historical five-year dry period on record for the drought risk assessment, and that was from 1988 to 1992. The 2013 to 2015 drought was very intense, but it was not the driest period on record. And I have a couple slides to kind of show you a little more detail on that. Next slide. So this is an intense bar graph. It shows a comparison of the historical State Water Project percent allocations each year with the bars at the bottom from 1922 to 2021. And the yellow line represents the 2019 delivery capability report average reliability for our State Water Project supply in normal years. So that kind of gives us our average for normal year anticipated. And the variability of State Water Project supplies is very large, as you can see. And so when we look at the worst hydrology on record for the drought risk assessment, it's often based on the State Water Project supplies because they fluctuate so much more than our groundwater supplies do. And so what I've done here is I've highlighted the two driest consecutive five-year periods on record, which you can see was in the 1930s and then in the late 1980s, early 1990s. And then in comparison, you can see that I've highlighted three very dry years that we've experienced in the last drought period. But what you can see in relation to the last drought period is that the 2 years surrounding those three dry periods, they were above average years. So overall, the other two drought scenarios did end up being more severe than our last drought, though the last drought did include our first 5% allocation ever, which was the driest at that time. And I have one more slide on this. Next slide. So what we did when we went to analyze these periods is we had to do a five consecutive dry year analysis. And so from 1930 to 1934, I've listed the allocations for each year, 1 through 5, and then provided an average at the bottom. And so what you can see is that the 1930 and 1988 drought were pretty close, but the most recent drought had a 37% average overall with the State Water Project allocation. And so hopefully this kind of gives you a little bit more information as to, we wanted to utilize the worst drought on record. And so we made sure to pick the lowest average, which was the 1988 to 1992 period for the drought risk assessment. Next slide, please. Why does an SCV water plan like every year is a drought? Well, I do plan like every year is a drought, as I do the operating plan each year, and I present that to the Water Resources Committee. So our short-term planning does assume worst-case scenario is going to happen next year all the time. With regards to the urban plan, it's a more of a long-term planning document, and so we look at all sorts of different hydrologic conditions. Our normal operations does include, again, frequent evaluation of these conditions. Our reliability report addresses long-term dry and wet year sequences. And then the urban plan this year, in addition, includes a near-term short scenario, which is that drought risk assessment. So this is the first year that the urban plan actually includes that more near-term assessment, which forces us to assume the next 5 years are going to be a drought. Next slide, please. Should the Nickel and New Holland semi-tropic banking programs be included in the urban plan water balance tables? And so this is a discussion that was had on the 27th. And some of the concerns we heard were that the existing agreements to access these supplies are not in place. May not be reasonable for us to assume that the past cooperation that we've had with New Hall Land would continue. And if supplies are dedicated to the New Hall Ranch specific plan, how can they be shown as a supply available to the agency? So I have a few slides to address this. I thought it would be helpful to go through a brief explanation of each supply specifically, and then we'll get into options that we've provided. So next slide, please. Sorry for all my water drinking. It's extremely hot in my house right now and a lot of talking. So we're going to start with the nickel water supply. So the nickel water supply is owned by New Hall Land. It's about 1,600 acre feet a year of Kern County water supplies. They primarily bank this water into their semi-tropic banking program every year. So they're saving it up. And the urban plan assumes that the rights to this water supply will be transferred to SCB Water in 2035. So that's included in the update that we provided you. We assumed in the plan that the completion of the Newhall Ranch specific plan would be in 2035, and that's why we chose that date. SCB Water may request to purchase this water if needed, but it would be pending an agreement with Newhall Land every time we make that request until the water supply is transferred to us. And SCB Water has never used this water supply, so we've never had to make that request to date. Next slide, please. So then there's the Newhall Land Semi-Tropic Banking Program. And again, this is Newhall Land is a banking partner in the Semi-Tropic Water Storage District's original banking program. They have the ability to store up to 55,000 acre feet in total at that facility. They currently have about 38,000 acre feet stored, and that's as of the beginning of 2021. Again, primarily nickel water that they've been storing away. They do have the ability to take out about just under 5,000 acre feet a year if they need it. And they can also put that much in. So basically they can put up to 5,000 acre feet a year into storage, and they can pull up to 5,000 acre feet a year out of storage if needed. Newhall Land may assign these program rights to SCB Water, and the urban plan does assume this transfer will happen around 2035 with the completion of the Newhall Land specific plan development. Next slide, please. And then lastly, how has SCB Water used the Newhall Land semi-tropic banking program in the past? And so in the past, we have utilized their semi-tropic banking program in 2009 and 2014. It did require special agreements with Newhall Land. At the time, SCB Water was a second priority banking partner. So we had stored water in the program and we're a partner, but we had lower priority rights. So we weren't able to access the water in 2009 and 2014. So because Newhall Land had first priority rights to pull that up to 5,000 acre feet out, we actually did agreements with them those 2 years to use the ability to pull the water out, but we pulled out our water that was stored. And then in addition, in 2015, SCB Water went from a second priority banking partner to a first priority banking partner. So we now can also pull 5,000 acre feet a year out of the bank as a first priority partner. So and our balance to date, the beginning of this year, it was about 40,000 acre feet of water that we had stored in that program. Next slide, please. So hopefully that kind of helped. I don't know if it simplified those programs for you, but maybe gave you a little grounding of what we're talking about. Next, what we wanted to do was address how we made edits to the updated draft document based on these comments that we received. So next slide, please. We're gonna start with the Nickel and Newhall Land semi-tropic options because we just reviewed those supplies. So as we looked at the urban plan, we really see that there's three options with these supplies. The first option is that we assume the supplies start in 2021 and go that they're available from 2021 to 2050. And this is the information that was provided in the original draft that was released at the end of April. The option two is what you have in the updated June draft. That's where we assume that the supplies become available in 2035. And that's again, when we're estimating the completion of the Newhall Land specific plan is done. Option three would be just to remove the supplies from the urban plan completely and not make any assumptions about them being available at this time. One thing to note is that, you know, it really doesn't matter which one of these options we choose. In all three of them, we do have enough available water supplies to exceed our demands with active conservation in all of our scenarios. So it doesn't change our reliability tables. And I'm going to show you a couple of those just so we can see more specific numbers. Next slide, please. And so what I'm showing you here is our single dry year water balance table. And I've summarized the total supplies by option 1, 2, and 3. And so we've got the total available supplies at the top, and then I've highlighted demands with passive and active conservation at the bottom. Again, option 1 is what was presented in the first draft. Option 2 shows some orange numbers, and that's how the numbers would shift if we, as we make the assumption that the supplies would start to be available in 2035. So those numbers decrease from option 1 to option 2 in those first two periods. And then as we move to option 3, you'll see that there's an adjustment across the board from now through build out. And so again, those supplies in option 3 have been completely removed. And then one thing to note again is that this is our single dry year water balance table. This is the most complicated water year type for us to meet demands in. And so I just wanna highlight that even in option 3, the lower orange numbers, we do have enough supplies available without New Holland supplies to meet our demands with passive and active conservation at the bottom. So there is still a little bit of cushion, not so much through 2025. We're still trying to recover those groundwater supplies, but as we move out to build out, you know, again, that cushion gets larger. Next slide, please. And then I wanted to share the same comparison with our multiple dry year water balance table. And so again, the orange numbers are highlighting a difference between our assumptions at the beginning or the first draft that was released where the New Hall supplies were available now through build out. Option 2 is showing the New Hall supplies becoming available in 2035. And then option 3, we remove those supplies. And again, in all three of these options, we do have plenty of supplies available to meet demands in these multiple dry year scenario. Next slide, please. So our staff recommendation for all these options is to go with option 2, where these New Holland supplies become available in 2035. Again, this is when we're estimating the New Holland specific plan will be completed. And this was the information provided, all the updates provided to you in the June 10th draft include this option. And we will, again, review this information every 5 years and can make updates as needed. Next slide, please. So in addition to that large edit that we made, we did do some other edits based on comments that we received. We did add some language regarding potential wildfire impacts. We added the alternate version of the drought risk assessment, which included the 2021 existing conditions, and that's put in the appendix. We updated table 4.1 to simplify it. We're now only showing the 2020 actual water supplies. And then we had, again, adjusted the assumptions regarding the nickel and the New Holland supply, and updated all the tables related to that change. Next slide, please. Just wanted to remind you that table 4.1 did receive a lot of feedback from the board as well as the public, just that it was misleading. And so we feel that table 4.1 is a lot, a simplified version of what supplies were actually used in 2020. So hopefully you're okay with this edit. Next slide, please. And then lastly, we made some clarifying edits with regards to our services to the LA County Water Works District 36 in the Val Verde area, tried to clarify the flexible storage supply and the nickel and New Holland supplies as well. Next slide. So finally, our staff recommendation is that the Board of Directors approve the attached resolution to adopt the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan, as well as the resolution to adopt the addendum to the 2015 Urban Water Management Plan. And thank you so much for your time. I'm sorry that was so long, but hopefully that addressed a lot of concerns that you had and gives you some confidence in our plan. It's a very thorough plan that we have put together. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Sarah, and members of the team who have been involved in the process of preparing the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and the addendum to the 2015 Urban Water Management Plan. I think you've done an excellent job. Before we take public comment, I would like to ask the board to allow the public to complete their comments before asking questions of staff, and neither staff nor the board will be responding to questions during the public comment. The board will have an opportunity to ask questions and address staff after the public comments have concluded. Because this is a continuation of the May 27, 2021 special board meeting, and in the presentation given tonight, staff has addressed the previous comments made by both the public and the board, we are asking that tonight's public comments be new comments and not ones that have already been made at the previous meeting. Again, to participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. And to participate in public comment via phone, dial *9 to raise your hand. And when called on, dial *6. With that, I ask if there are any members of the public who would like to comment at this time. Madam Secretary, please call on the commenters as they come up.
Ms. Dunn, please hit *6 and you may begin your public comment.
Yes, good evening. I wanted to clarify something after hearing the explanation why the eastern part of the city is not getting any recycled water. And first of all, the developments over here, it went through the developers, and they wanted to make sure that they had a way to use their recycled water. And then they are now sending it, are going to send it all the way over to the Valencia Sanitation District. So that completely bypasses this area. And my husband and myself, our mistake was to just say that it's the eastern part. It isn't. It's the eastern part all the way up almost to Bouquet. None of that area is getting that water. And so this letter should be really clarified. It should have been that it was at least to the middle of the city, but almost all the way over to Bouquet. And so all of this huge area here from the east over to that point, we are all paying for sanitation processing. We pay for the water we buy in the first place, and we are left out. And as the aqua boundaries, they had said that even on the boundaries, people that are paying for all the services should be getting that recycled water, and it's not happening. And perhaps the attorney, Mr. Silverstein, might be interested in helping us. Anyway, in any case, I hope that gives you a little more of a thought as to where we're coming from. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Dunn. Ms. Noltmeyer, please hit *6 and you may begin your public comment.
Carmelis, or Cam Noltmeyer, if you know me as that. I have questions with regard to, you're talking about allocating water all over, and it never comes up about how much contamination we have in our water. I'm just looking at the PFAS and PFOS and perchlorate. We have so many wells that are going down, that are they taking that in consideration? Because this is going to go on for years and years, the contamination already has gone on for years and years. And I'm wondering about the Newhall land also, because a lot of that was farmed. There's a lot of contaminations that come with the fertilization, the animals they have on there, everything like that. But I don't hear any concerns about there. It's just like we have all this water here and all that water there. And it's a little disturbing from that long report about here and there. And it just seems so vague is, I guess, the word I would use about what the real water supply is. And if they're relying on this for huge future development.
Did you call Fariba? I forgot to tell you.
Ms. Altmaier, you can continue your public comment. I apologize for that. Ms. Altmaier, are you finished with your public comment? Ms. Altmaier, hit star 6 again to unmute yourself.
Cam Noltemeyer, Carmela Stoltemeyer. I'm concerned about the lack of concern about how much contamination we have in our water already. And judging from the amount of concern there is about Newhall land and their Nichols water, a big issue. How good is that Nichols water? Haven't they been farming all kinds of things going on with that? I'd like to know before there's this whole concern and thing about Nichols water. Just tell us, how good is that Nichols water? Or is it just more polluted, contaminated water like we're getting in all of our wells here from things they never knew existed there? But we have wells after well going down with this contaminations, and a lot more than the public really knows at this point. So I'm a little concerned about the, I keep hearing this come up every time, the Nichols water in Newhall land. But
Ms. Altmaier, thank you so much for your public comment. Your time is up. Ms. Fortner, please unmute yourself and you may begin your public comment. And just a reminder to the board and to anybody and any staff, please remember to mute yourselves. Thank you. Ms. Fortner, please go ahead with your public comment.
Sure, thanks, April. April, before I start, I wanna make sure that you've received my written comment. Have you received that?
We did receive that, and it was sent out to the board and to the public as well, and is posted on our website.
Okay, I wanted just to make sure. I don't have anything to add to that necessarily, but I did want to just address something quickly here that is becoming more noticeable, and not just by me, but other members of the public. And that is the attentiveness of the board members when the public is speaking. If you're going to be texting on your phone, at least keep it out of the view of the camera. We can see that, and I realize that this person might be leaving soon, but that doesn't mean that they don't have to listen or pay attention to the public comment or the presentation that staff is delivering. So just wanted to mention that. And, you know, we do our best to be respectful, and it would be nice if it was reciprocated. And that's it. My written comment will stand for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fortner. Mr. Masnada, please unmute yourself and you may begin your public comment.
Thanks, April. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Okay. First of all, I want to commend the board, the staff, and the consultants in the preparation of what amounts to be the most comprehensive and informative urban water management plan in the existence of the agency. I personally have been involved in the preparation of urban water management plans since the act was adopted. Also, the board and staff should be commended for the extensive outreach and public involvement. Once again, the most that's ever been done. I had a couple of comments regarding some of the responses or reactions to a couple of the comments. Some folks have blurred the distinction between short-term supply impacts due to drought and long-term water supply availability and reliability. Fortunately, the water shortage contingency plan addresses the former, while the urban water management plan addresses the latter. Then the issue about not counting contaminated water as a supply, I think Ms. Noltemeyer was touching on that. As previously occurred with the perchlorate, that was something that was advocated by certain folks back in the day. The perchlorate issue and the PFAS issue is not a lost supply issue. It's fundamentally a treatment issue and a cost issue. Fortunately, as far as the perchlorate is concerned, you know, the owners, the prior and current owners and their insurance companies of the Whitaker Burmite site are paying for that. As far as PFAS, again, the water supply is here. It ultimately involves treatment. The main thing the agency needs to do is ensure that restoration of those wells, if it benefits future users or development, future users pay for that. And if it benefits existing users pay for that, consistent with the agency's fairness doctrine. As far as climate change impacts, the urban water, you know, I know some folks are urging that the agency utilize more conservative estimates of climate change impacts. Fortunately, the Urban Water Management Plan is a living, breathing document. It's updated every 5 years, and the impact of any changes in climate change projections will be incorporated in future Urban Water Management Plan updates well in advance of Valley build-out. Also, I read the comment letters from Scope and Friends, and I know I'm going to have to keep my comments short, brief now, but basically I encourage the environmental organizations to do all they can in working with the agency and the sanitation district to utilize recycled water for grading. It would be great if it's used on the west end in order to conserve potable water for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Masnada. Is there any further public comment? One more time, is there any further public comment? Seeing none, I see that that's a director. There is no further public comment. President Martin, back to you. President Martin, you're muted.
Of course I was. All right, thank you very much, April. And thank you members of the public for participating in the public comment period. It now appears that members of the public who wish to make public comment on this item have had the opportunity to do so. I am now going to ask the board if they have any comments or questions of staff. After the board comments and questions, we'll ask staff if they need a recess to contemplate the comments that they have heard before they provide a response. So members of the board, you likely will not get an immediate response to your questions, as the staff will probably take a recess to prepare their thoughts on the responding to each of the public and the board member comments. So with that, I will ask the board. I already see hands raised, so I will go to Director Atkins and ask you if you have a question or comment.
Thank you, President Martin. First, I want to congratulate Matt Stone and staff for terrific work on this urban water management plan, but in particular, Sarah Fleury. You continue to impress me with your the quality of your presentations, the depth of your knowledge, and your willingness to share that information. And it's presented in such a way that's very simple to follow. I don't have any specific questions right now. If I did, I would take it up with staff. But I just want to acknowledge the stellar effort on the part of Sarah Fleury and the balance of the staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Atkins. Director Bronstein, do you have a question or a comment?
Sorry, yes. As I promised Sarah Fleury, I will always have questions. So, sorry, learning. The only way to learn is by asking questions, really.
Right.
Well, so my first question to her was, I was wondering if drought is changing, as in, is it developing differently than it used to develop? Is the drought usually used to be historically in our area, and now it's more Northern California as well? Or if it's, we're just seeing the same patterns over and over. That, I guess that's why I was wondering about the allocation that we got, the lowest allocation that we got previously wasn't during 1988, I think, right? Somewhere around there. It was in 2014, I think she said. And I was wondering if it was because the nature of drought was different. Then the other thing I just want to put out there that I'm a little still nervous about this active conservation, that we will only have enough if we do manage active conservation. I think that that should just be out there as a concern of ours, because if we don't manage to get this going, then we're going to fall short eventually. And then I feel like a lot of the well issues is based off of the GSA. And I'm kind of conflicted about it. And I know we all bring our own life experiences, what we've learned to whatever we do. There's no way, even judges who are supposed to be impartial, they bring their own narrative with them when they're sitting on the bench, even though they're supposed to be impartial. It's just, we're humans, that's how we are. And I find it very concerning that most of the people on the GSA seem to have some kind of investment in supplying water. So, you know, them being a little more generous with what they think we can do, I'm not saying that they're misleading or, but it just seems like I would feel more comfortable knowing that there were more independent people sitting there. And it just seems a little bit too close to the subject to really, I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not trying to say, not saying that anybody here has any malicious or bad or anything like that. I think everybody here is trying to do the best that they can. But at the same time, when a lot of people are in the business of supplying water, it just has to make me think, oh, well, of course they think we can supply more water than maybe we actually can. That's me.
Thank you, Director Bronstein. Director Planback, you have your hand raised. Proceed.
Yeah, I have. First, I think Mr. Masnada might be interested to know that many of us asked that recycled water be used for grading, and we were told it couldn't be done. So, and then I wanted to know if Mr. Masnada was speaking for the agency, because he seemed to make a lot of comments and criticisms on the information that was the comment letters that were submitted or the things that people said, as though he were speaking for the agency. And I would just like to have that clarified, because to my knowledge, he's not speaking for the agency, but who knows? So that's one of the questions. And then I think Ms. Noltmeyer had an excellent question about water quality testing for the New Holland and farming ag wells. That was something that concerned me with the future wells for both the Saugus, which supposedly were located along the South Fork. And I don't know if we're going to get into more pollution issues or migration of pollution if we do have them there, or if any water quality testing of the ag wells in the New Hall Ranch project has been done. We were supposed to be able to get water from those wells, and I noticed that in the last several EIRs, they relied on the E15, which is an alluvial well closer to the treatment plant. And the ag wells are directly across from Chiquita Canyon landfill. And I think it's really important that if you think you're going to be able to use those wells, that there be some kind of testing available to see if they, what you're getting into there, because I think nitrates and those were farm fields and all sorts of pesticides and fertilizers were used on them. And it's really important to know what you're getting into when you promise those wells. And, you know, I read all the letters, and my concern is with these possible supplies that are far out, like 20 years from now, and you say, well, we can always change the plan. The problem is that once a project is approved in LA County or City of Santa Clarita, it may hang around for 20 years. And many projects on the books now, Lyons Canyon, all sorts of things have hung around. I think Gate King was approved in 2003, is just, you know, just doing the second phase now. So it's really important that those supplies that are 20 years out are real supplies. And I'm very concerned that they aren't, that there's serious problems with those wells, that we may not make the conservation goals that we think we're going to make, and that, things like the Nichols water doesn't come through. I think the question about, are there issues with semi-tropic? Are we going to need to put another wellhead treatment in to pull their water out? I know semi-tropic had arsenic problems, and we've already had to treat from our portion of it. Are we going to have to plan on doing that? And then I saw the comment about, the semi-tropic water in the Newhall Bank capacity is not supply. And even though they're putting more water in, 55,000 acre feet is only like 11 years. So you're building all these houses are not going to go away in 11 years. So I'm really pretty worried that the long-term supply is overestimated. And if you want, I heard what you said, and I want to echo Mr. Atkins' praise of Sarah Flory. I mean, this is just, it's excellent. I have issues with it because I'm concerned about the future, but it's not a concern with the adequacy of her work. And it's just a difference of opinion about what can be counted and what can't. I think it's just excellent work. Okay. Also, I guess the other reason I get concerned about the saying you can pump so much out of the Saugus aquifer in the future is that the Saugus and the alluvium are linked. And if you are pulling a lot out of the Saugus, you may be reducing surface flow in the alluvial aquifer, and nobody's talked about that at all. But there is work done on that by Slade quite a long time ago. I don't know about more recent work, but it was done a long time ago. And then, it said that it's sort of identified where the two new well sites were, and I'm wondering if you could, but sort of like along the South Fork, I'm wondering if anybody could be more specific about that. I don't agree that a footnote is sufficient to differentiate the firm supplies from the the firming supplies from the annual supplies. And I'm wondering why you can't just put a title above those, that that's what they are, and that they're not to be used to approve new houses on. And again, my concern is that planners look at those numbers. They don't necessarily read the footnotes, even though they should, but they aren't necessarily going to do that. And my concern is that a bunch of housing gets approved that in 20 years, the water supply is not really there and it's all built. And then we lose the river, we have major problems in the Delta, it's really going to cause a problem for businesses and residents in this valley if we don't do this correctly. let's see, there was, I think that's all that I wrote it down, but there was a statement made about peer reviewed and deemed to be appropriate. There was a peer review at the last stakeholders meeting, and I do attend those meetings to hear what's going on with the GSA. And I didn't hear the peer review presentation to say that they deemed it to be appropriate. They said they were still working on it and they had issues, and there's no peer review been released. So I'm just wondering if some clarification could be made on that. And I don't know, the GSA isn't complete, but somehow we're relying on that as the go-to document for what you can take out of the river, which I don't know if that's going to be correct or not in the future. So, and also you about the relying on the DWR capacity report for the Delta. You know, I understand why you want to do that, but I don't remember if I read it in one of the comment letters, but you are certainly allowed to rely on regional information. You don't have to rely on the DWR reliability report. And the reason why it seems obvious that you should rely on what you've actually gotten over the years or what the notices were for our area is that there may be other constrictions in delivery or whatever that you need to consider for regional ability to receive DWR supplies. And it should be really, you know, I don't understand, for instance, why you would use 7% when we only got 5% this year. And I see that you put the two things in the chart. So I appreciate that. And I do appreciate the changes that you made. I think that they improved it. I still have a lot of concerns. So that's all.
Thank you, Director Planbeck. Before I go to Director Armitage for her comments or questions, I want to respond to the comments you made about Mr. Masnada. Mr. Masnada has not been an employee of the Water Agency for many years now. He's come to us as a member of the public, and I don't recall that we ever ask another member of the public who they speak for when they make public comment. So I think the kindest thing I could say is it was a very inappropriate comment, and I'll leave it at that. Okay. Director Armitage.
I would just like to quickly respond that he chose to criticize the comment letters, and it doesn't seem to me that that would be the place of another member of the public to do that. That's why fine. I brought
that's not
up.
What you, that, but that's not what mm-hmm. you said. You said,
I said, is he speaking for the Water Agency?
That's correct. And that's an inappropriate comment.
I don't think
comment.
That was at all a rude comment. It was a question when somebody starts criticizing commenters, you know, is he speaking for the Water Agency or not?
That's inappropriate. Thank you. Director Armitage, please proceed with your comment.
Okay, thank you. So first I want to also express my appreciation to the Water Resources team. Mr. Marks and Ms. Fleury have made themselves available to me many times to answer my many questions as well about the Urban Water Management Plan and our supplies that they worked so hard to try to secure for us. So. And also thank you to Mr. Velasquez for joining us this morning to help me better understand the CalSIMS modeling used for forecasting. That was really helpful. And so for anyone who's taken a stab at reading the Urban Water Management Plan, you'll know that it's a beast of a document with many other documents referenced throughout. I mean, here, in case anybody hasn't seen it, this is it. It's huge and takes a long time to get through. And also thank you, Ms. Fowler, for getting me that copy. So I appreciated the help that I received as I did my best to interpret and understand the information. I feel like all the things that I may help provide input on in my time here in this board, this is probably the one document that I feel is one of the most important ones since it is foundational to much of the work that is done by the agency. And I feel like I owe it to my neighbors and fellow community members to get this as right as possible. So I do have my list of comments and questions for this round two. First, as a general comment going forward, I feel like there needs to be discussion, and I know this is probably a state level discussion, but I feel like the term normal water year needs to be reconsidered. I don't know that anybody knows what a water normal year is anymore. and it doesn't communicate well. So I know we're using terms given to us by the Department of Water Resources, but perhaps if there could be, if you could all maybe help start a conversation at the state level, I think that would be really helpful for us and also members of the public. I want to say that I very much appreciated the comments provided by community members and the local organizations. Sustainability is the balance of three sets of values over the long term. So it's social values, environmental values, and economic values. And I feel like economic values have been and continue to be very well represented and highlighted. But I think we can do better to make sure we're also thinking about environmental values and social values that affect our well-being in the long run when we consider how we get our water and how it is used. So I think many of the comments and questions posed by members of the public and local community groups were good ones, and I want to make sure that they are addressed today. So regarding the Nichols water, there was a question raised about the legality of using public funds to move the water from where it's stored down to us, and it's being specifically slated for one development. So I wanted to hear from legal counsel if they could speak to this issue. Comments were made about the lack of detail in the section about of how climate change impacts are factored into future supplies and demand. And I would agree with that statement. It would be nice to see more consideration being given to that and communicated to us. And I know Ms. Fleury addressed that and mentioned that other plans do go into detail, but I do think it's worth repeating some of that details in this plan as well. I am thankful for the language that was added about the issue of increasing wildfire frequency in intensity, although I don't think it was worded quite that way. But I do hope it gets more details in the next plan because I do think that it deserves more attention. I appreciate the comments also about the changes. I appreciated the comments by the public about the changes they'd like to see when referencing well production. I know that Ms. Fleury also spoke about this, but I do still have some questions about trying to understand this. So I think I heard Ms. Fleury say that what's listed in the plan is the maximum capacity that we can pump, but I feel like that's still different than what is actually pumped. So I want to get clarification on that and whether or not we could just list ranges of what actual well production data was received in the past and use those figures. I appreciated the list of nature-centric solutions that were offered as examples of ways to help enhance groundwater recharge and therefore decrease reliance on imported water. And I would ask that the agency look at the lists that were provided and incorporate those suggestions into processes moving forward when approving projects in the future. I support deleting table 4.3, the one that listed, or that made it seem like we receive 100% allocations for table A water. For the water banked in semi-tropic, I know I had questions about this before. I'm still a little confused about how much we're allowed to pull. I know we talked about there's currently about 38,000 acre feet. We can withdraw about 5,000 acre feet a year. So my question is, wouldn't there be a limitation on the number of years available that we would have to draw from that if we were to draw consecutively? And then I would advocate to have the Nichols and semi-tropic Newhall land water deleted from it until we actually have an agreement that guarantees access to that water for all the years listed in the plan. And that's all I have on this. I do have questions about the addendum. I'm assuming we will discuss that separately. Is that correct, President Martin? You're muted.
You're muted, Gary.
I'm very sorry, I was muted. I believe this public hearing includes both the 2020 and the 2015 addendum. So if you have questions on the addendum, okay, I think you should go ahead and ask, yes.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. So for the addendum, I wanted to see if somebody could walk us through the addendum just briefly. I had a question about the population listed for the 2010 baseline. It didn't look correct to me, but if someone can maybe take a peek at that and let me know if that looks right to you, because it was higher than the subsequent years. Page K-5, there's a term used, which is demands with water use efficiency. My question is that the same as the concept in the urban water management plan of demands with passive and active conservation? So if these two are if these two terms are trying to communicate the same thing, can we use the same term for consistency? Next question is, where did the figures in table K-2 for the reported water use efficiency or estimated water use efficiency since baseline come from? Where did those figures come from? And then in table K-3 for the water that's part of the local and regional water supply and storage projects, which sources of water are those included in that and what are their origins? And that's it, thank you.
On you. Thank you, Director Armitage. Director, Vice President Gladbach, you have your hand up.
Yeah, thank you, President Martin. I want to join the other ones and commend Sarah and her team for putting together what I call consider an awesome urban water management plan. The replan is absolutely tremendous. Sarah, you've done a tremendous job in your presentations at the public hearings. I also want to thank the board and members of the public for their participation. I think this plan will be one of the best, if not the best plan that California will receive this year. In the past, our plans have been one of the best, and I'm sure we'll surpass that this year. I want to emphasize what Dan Mesnada was saying about wells. You know, I think based upon all the new contaminants that have come out recently and new ones that are coming out in the future, I think I can expect that, you know, other wells will find to be contaminated with new elements or old elements in the future. But the key is, as Dan pointed out, the source of water is there. It's still a source. It has to be treated. You know, you can always treat water. You can't, we don't gain anything by not having the water. At least we've got the water, we can treat it. And it's a matter of cost. So that's what's key, is that it is a source of water and can be treated. So thank you, President Martin and other members of the board.
Thank you, Vice President Gladbach. Are there any other members of the board who would like to comment or ask questions at this time for the board, for the staff to consider? I don't think I see any other hands raised.
Mr. Martin.
I see a hand raised by Director Ford. Director Ford, please proceed.
Thank you, President Martin. Just a couple comments at this point. The nature of planning is kind of like modeling in general, and we rely upon the state's modeling in part for this plan, and that is that they're always inaccurate, but they're sometimes useful, and that's what this plan is. And we will adjust as time goes on as we learn more every 5 years. And so we know there are some unknowns out there coming at us, and we'll be able to make changes as needed. I think climate change is also well addressed in this plan, both a decrease in supply and a bump in demand as a result of possible climate change. That too is based on models which are somewhat inaccurate, at least to date, as to what's going to happen, and quite frankly have a great deal of unknown as well too. The edits that staff have proposed, I think, were excellent in addressing these matters. I agree with them on all of them, particularly with regard to the nickel and semi-tropic water that's owned by Newhall Land, that to give a more accurate date to assume that that supply will be part of our portfolio, I think, is appropriate. The project Newhall Ranch is conditioned on that as a mitigation measure that the water supply will ultimately come to the water purveyor of the Santa Clarita Valley. I'd like to say that with just going a little bit afield here, the letter concerning the statutory exemption, the letter regarding CEQA for the adoption of the plan, I think is a great deal of sound and fury. The legislature and the governor wanted urban water management planning to be an exempt process, meaning it's really not a discretionary matter in the hands of the board. It is exempt per state law. And so I don't know that that amount of time was well spent on behalf of the Silverstein Law Firm. And with that, I think the part of the reason this plan is so thick, as always, is because DBR has a lot of requirements, and each time we do it, it gets thicker and thicker with more requirements that have to be met. And I agree with Vice President Gladbeck, I should say, that I think this is probably the most thorough plan that's been written and will probably satisfy DWR when it arrives. So in conclusion, outstanding job by staff and the consultant team in putting together a comprehensive approach as to urban water management planning as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Ford. Director Planback, you had your hand up next, so proceed with your comment.
Yeah, I apologize. I didn't realize that we were supposed to be asking our questions on the addendum as well. And my question is, as I understand the purpose of the addendum, it's to show that we're reducing reliability on the state water project because as climate change proceeds, we may not have as much water coming out of the state water project. And I think, as far as I can tell, they're trying to get us to really think about that. If I'm incorrect, I hope someone will let me know. But I don't see that we're decreasing our reliance on it. It looks for me that we did all the calculations that they required, and the percentages come out that we're increasing it because our population increases, and that's our water supply, and we're going to just increase it. And I'm wondering if that's really a viable way to address this. And I know that probably it seems like maybe you did what they required, but not what their intention was. And I'm wondering if, I know Sarah Fleury went over quickly that the suggestions made were land use requirements. But I just want to say that as the district, as the district is requested to write comment letters and availability letters on projects, they should make suggestions, like as they did in the Bouquet Creek issue, where they said they really thought that it was probably not a good idea to be concreting the creek. I mean, we could make suggestions like that, like, as were suggested in those comment letters, permeable pavement and, you know, preserving recharge areas to the extent possible, and really start having the land use agencies think more in that direction. And, you know, they are doing that in the southern watershed, in the western watershed, in the Ventura area. They don't silo it. They have the watershed committee and the supervisors running the watershed committee. And so she gets to hear all of these concerns over watershed, and I'm sure they get into her decision-making on the board, as they should, because water sustainability is really important to a sustainable community, sustainable businesses, sustainable residences. So I'm sorry, is somebody else talking? Anyway, I wonder, Sarah, if you could address that and why the numbers are, you know, how, if that was their direction, why those numbers are still getting larger and larger.
Thank you, Director Planbeck. Director Cooper, you had your hand up.
Thank you, President Martin. First off, I want to thank staff for what they've done in this. I mean, being on the Water Resources Committee, we've had our questions answered over and over again. We've had a number of those, and I think the plan is excellent. Sarah, Dirk, Steve Cole, Matt Stone, Matt Dickens, everybody that's participated in this, I really appreciate the work you've put into it. This is not an easy job. I guess I first want to say Director Ford, the comments that you made were excellent. I think that being a ex or former water resources planner, you have a very good understanding of this process. But I think I heard some comments earlier on that kind of upset me, thinking that there's water people on here that are trying too hard to provide water for the community, is kind of what I was hearing, that we were, what a bunch of malarkey. And it really ticks me off. I've been in the water business for 45 years. One of the most important functions that a board can do is water resource planning. This is what it's all about. This is what a board is all about. This water agency didn't come into this valley with all of the water and programs that it has now. It came in with about 30,000 acre feet. It added 41,000 acre feet in a purchase up in the, because a board wanted planning. It added a ranch of 8,500 acres to get the water from that ranch to bring to this valley. It provided water storage banking programs in Rosedale, Rio Bravo, because it wanted to provide responsible planning for this valley. It provided a semi-tropic program, groundwater banking, so it could provide water for this valley. And that's because of this board. And for people to think that there's water people on here that are maybe too easy to provide water for others really ticks me off, because this is our job, is to see that the water for this valley is planned for responsibly. And I think that we have, and maybe my question for Sarah is, how many professional water resource planners worked on this document? How many professional water resource consultants worked on this document? How many professional water resource engineers worked on this document? And to come in and think that we're trying to put a plan over that makes it too easy is really offensive. This is what we do. This is why our valley is what it is now, is we've had responsible planning for this valley, and it's going to continue. It's not going to come with an agenda to control whatever they want to control using water. Our job is to provide water, just like it's Edison's job to provide electricity, the gas company to provide gas. That's what our role is. If we need to buy more water down the road, we'll buy more water. But these plans are what identifies to us what we need to do and how far out we need to do it.
Thank you, Director Cooper. Are there any other members of the board who wish to comment or ask a question at this time? I think we've reached the end of board comment and questions, so let me add my words to those who have already spoken in appreciation for what the staff has done. Dirk and his department, Sarah, terrific presentation. Matt Dickens, you're right there with water conservation, and excellent part member of the team. We do have, in my view, an outstanding staff, and the Water Resource Department and the planning effort is one of the most important things that we do. This document is the most important water planning document that we have. It's foundational to all of our water planning going forward. And once again, and I always say that Director or Vice President Gladbach is the senior most water guy on our board. And when he says it's the best plan that the state will receive, I think he's right, correct. And kudos to the board, kudos to the staff for the effort they made to create this document. And so with that, we are complete with board comment and question. I would like to ask staff and whoever is going to speak for staff, whether it be Dirk or whether it be Sarah or whomever, we were planning on taking a recess at this time so that you can prepare to respond to all the public comments you've heard and all the board comments and questions that you've heard tonight so that we can wrap up this public hearing. So I would ask if you could tell me how much time you need, and we will recess for that amount so that you can come back with complete and thorough answers. So Sarah or Dirk, whomever.
My estimate would be at least 15 minutes to just kind of coordinate the effort here, because I think that you guys touched on a lot of topics separately, but it'd be nice to kind of put them together in groups and then figure out who's going to address them best. So if you could give us 15 minutes, I would really appreciate that, and we'll do our best to address everyone's comments.
Very good. To make sure, we will recess for 20 minutes. It is now 7:50 p.m. We are now in recess until 8:10 p.m. Please come back promptly at 8:10 p.m. for the staff's response to the questions and comments. And with that, we are in recess.